name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can learn almost everything that we need to know from listening and praying in the services, or even reading the services is a good thing to do. The Dormition Troparion. In giving birth, thou didst preserve thy virginity, proclaims our belief, our knowledge of the Theotokos, that she was a virgin before birth, during birth, and after birth. And if you want to have this explained, then you do not understand. It is a mystery that we cannot understand. But the Church has been unanimous about this for well over a millennia. Almost two millennia. So, in giving birth, thou didst preserve thy virginity. But of course, we always look at the deeper meaning of things. Virginity is not just to not have intercourse with a man. Virginity is purity. Virginity is holiness. And the Theotokos, above all human beings, mortals, should I say, that were born, preserved her holiness and her purity. In thy Dormition, thou didst not forsake the world, O Theotokos. Dormition, falling asleep. We believe, our services proclaim over and over again, the Theotokos being born of Adam, being of human stuff, died and was buried. And we know then that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to take her soul with her body to heaven. But she did die because the services proclaim very poetically at one point last night that if the Lord Jesus Christ must have gone to the cross and died, why wouldn't also the Theotokos also die? So in thy Dormition thou didst not forsake the world, O Theotokos. This also proclaims our belief not only about the Theotokos, but about all the saints, about the resurrection. She died, but she has not forsaken us. In this she is not unique. The saints have not forsaken us either. She is just par excellence, the intercessor for the Church. But only one of many intercessors for the Church. Because God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So we proclaim that in her Dormition she has not forsaken us, because she's not dead. And we say this emphatically. Thou wast translated unto life, since thou art the author of life. I find it interesting in the service how she's spoken of being translated many times, but this mystery of her being translated bodily by our Lord is sort of hinted at, but not said explicitly. It comes close many times, but not exactly. And I think this is because for the mysteries of the Church, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. Those who do not really care about holy things will not understand this. But those who love holy things, love the things of God, will treasure the Mother of God, her ever virginity, her holiness, her special treatment by her Son, in which she alone of all mortals, after her death, was escorted into the heavenly mansions, body and soul, by her Savior and her Son. The services over and over speak about how this must be so, that she would be translated into life. She is the author of life. God was within her womb. We call her Platitera, more spacious than the heavens. And we cannot understand this, and yet we speak of it and meditated it about it in our services over and over again, because it's so magnificent, so wonderful, so terrible, that a human being with human failings, with the need of a Savior, would bear the very Savior that she and all of the human race needed. This is an amazing thing. I think only those who have become holy can really understand it. My namesake, Seraphim Masarov, would pray before an icon of the Mother of God on his knees all the time. He had a great love for the Mother of God. The Mother of God visited him. I think he understood her because they were of the same kind. They were holy. They had preserved their virginity. Not the bodily virginity, but the spiritual virginity. And that, I think, alas, we must say that many times we are not preserving our virginity. Of course, with God's help, we can always regain it. Thou hast translated unto life, since thou art the mother of life. And by thine intercessions, thou didst save our souls from death. We believe that the Theotokos prays for us. Her intercessions to her Savior are beneficial to us. We have a balanced view of the Mother of God. Recently someone was asking me about differences in the services. You know, the Theotokos, all of her services, and this might be, I would say arguably it's the second greatest of her services. I would say the Annunciation is the pinnacle of our commemoration of the Theotokos. But be that as it may, all of her services, they are high feasts, highly ranked, but not as highly ranked as Feast of the Lord. There are differences in Feast of the Lord. Feast of the Lord supersede everything. Feast of the Lord have an entrance verse, Theotokos. They don't. Feast of the Lord, all fasting is mitigated on that day if it's on a particular day, with the exception of Transfiguration, but that's during the fast. The Theotokos, so today we can have fish, wine, and oil, but we still fast from meat, cheese, and eggs. Because her feast is of a lower rank. Because she is of a lower rank than God, but she's of the highest rank of all humans. We have a balanced view of her. We believe, we know. You know, sometimes when I say believe, I remember that our society has a very poor definition of belief. For them, belief means, I'm pretty sure this is the case. For us, belief is, we know and confess that this is true. So we believe that the Mother of God prays for us, and by her intercessions we are saved. She hears what we need. She brings our needs before her Son, as the saints do, as the angels do, as our guardian angel does. But we are especially comforted that the Mother of our Lord would bring our petitions before her Son. And we have great confidence in her petitions, although not in our own. The entire Dormition Tropar teaches, in a nutshell, our understanding of the Theotokos. She preserved her virginity because she was pure and holy and loved God above all things. It is impossible to imagine that someone who had borne God would live a mundane life afterwards, would just be just a Jewish village woman having children and going through the going to the marketplace to catch up on the latest gossip, living just a regular life. How can this be? Our services continually speak of how she was so changed that she no longer lived a mundane life. Now, she was still a human being, completely human, not anything greater than human, just like us, with failings, with misunderstandings. The gospel shows that she did not completely understand everything all at once. What caused her to eventually have such profound understanding with her Son is that she treasured everything in her heart. So should we. We should be more like her. We should emulate her. We know that she preserved her virginity, so should we. We have confidence in the resurrection, so we know that her intercessions are heard by our Savior and help to save us. You can do this, by the way, with almost any troparion. You can see that the troparion, and together with the kontakion, gives a summation of the theology of the feast. But remember, it's always words mean much more than just the surface meaning, such as virginity. Virginity is holiness and purity, not just a physical condition. So may God, through the Theotokos, through her prayers, save us. Amen.